This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
Early childhood education funding seems to have made its way to the front burner in Lansing. Governor Snyder announced his support for more money for early childhood education during his State of the State address last week.
We have 29,000 students that are eligible for a program to get them into preschool. I don't believe we can accomplish all of that, and I'm open to coming up with creative ideas to get there. But I think it's important we make a major commitment, a major budget commitment, to get as many kids in as possible and get us on a path to getting all those kids in Great Start in an early childhood program.
And this comes as Republican State Senator Roger Kahn's also been pushing for a funding increase. Michigan Radio's Jennifer Guerra and Dustin Dwyer have been spending months and months taking a look at early childhood education, all part of our State of Opportunity project, and they join me now. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Cynthia.
Jen, I'm going to start with you. Tell us, what was the reaction after the governor at least mentioned funding for early childhood education in his speech? Was it well received, or were people a little disappointed that there wasn't more attention?
I think it'd be safe to say it's sort of a mixed bag. It depends who you talk to. A number of early child advocates that I spoke to were actually just really geeked, was one of the words that somebody used. They were really geeked that Governor Snyder had even mentioned early childhood education, and they were really excited that it was getting a mention. But then when you sort of start to dive into the speech a little bit more and we start talking numbers, when we start talking dollars, I think it's safe to say it's sort of a different story.
So what are we talking in terms of the cost of getting those 29,000 eligible little ones into that preschool?
Well, Senator Kahn, who you mentioned, he has been pushing for $140 million, and that would cover half-day preschool for those 29,000, most of the 29,000. And if you listen to Governor Snyder's bite, he says, I don't believe we can accomplish all that. So that's $140 million. And right before he had said that, he had spent about 5 or 6 minutes talking about roads and bridges and how he thought it was a very big priority to do $1.2 billion in increased funding for roads and bridges. And so when you look at it in that light, it seems like not all priorities are funded equally.
And I want to talk about what we'd be getting for this kind of education. What does the data show that is important to understand with regards to kids getting this kind of education at such a young age?
So one of the things that, I mean, we're talking about preschool funding in the context of what we're spending on roads, and the research shows that actually both investments pay off. And in some analyses, they actually pay off similarly. One person I talked to said road investments return about 5% per year on the money you spend. The return on investment for preschool, depending on who you talk to, it can be in the range of 6 to 10% per year. And if you sort of compound that interest out, depending on who you talk to, again, we're talking about a 3-to-1 return on investment for preschool. Some people say that investment can go up as high as a 7-to-1 return on investment cumulatively. And the reason is because kids who go to preschool, the data shows they are more likely to graduate high school. They're less likely to need sort of remedial classes or special education, so you'll save money in the schools. They also earn more money when they're adults. So Tim Bartik, an economist at the Upjohn Institute, he calculates the return on investment from preschool purely on a per capita earnings basis. So just by increasing the earnings of the state residents and by factoring out those who will move out of the state, which certain people will, he says you're still getting $3 for every dollar invested in preschool.
And Jen, we're talking about high quality early childhood education. We're not just talking about daycare. Can you kind of elaborate on that for us?
Right. That's a really good point. There are, and you can tell when you walk into different preschools that you sort of get a vibe. And there is a difference between a high quality preschool, a preschool, and a daycare. And I think the model that has been set would be through the HiSCOPE Foundation. They're the ones that did the Perry Preschool. We've talked about the Perry Preschool study a lot in our coverage, and it's one of the 40 years of data that shows what goes into a good preschool and the results that come from kids going to that preschool. And they sort of broke it down into four things that all high-quality preschools should have. They said engaged parents, a way to evaluate students, active learning, and good teachers. Those were sort of the four tenets of a good, high-quality preschool. Active learning, meaning the kids have to be engaged. It's not just top-down. It's not just the teachers telling the kids what to do. It's child-initiated, and then they review what they did. They talk about it. And good teachers, that was sort of the really big one, because it costs a lot of money to pay for quality teachers. And the gentleman I spoke with at HiSCOPE said that really makes all the difference.
And Dustin Dwyer, there's really a scientific part to all of this, isn't there? About the idea of being able to actually mold youngsters' brains when they're quite young.
Yeah, in terms of there's interesting research that's happened really just in the last couple of years in terms of the biology of the brain. And what we all have this idea that young kids, you know, age 3 or 4, that everyone says their brains are like sponges. But there's been a lot of neuroscientists now are scanning brains, and they're doing all these tests to sort of determine exactly what kids are learning and how they're learning. And it's just incredible that what they're finding just reaffirms that if a kid doesn't have the right learning opportunities at home, and let's remember that, you know, if we're talking about kids who are qualifying for Head Start or the Great Start Readiness Program, their parents are low income. They probably work long hours. Research has shown that there are not as many books in the home for these kids, and not as many learning opportunities. So what happens is their brains are physically changed. Their brains are literally different if they don't get some sort of intervention, if someone doesn't come along and sort of teach them some of the skills that we talk about when we're talking about preschool. So absolutely, the science is reaffirming some of the things that we've thought we knew about preschool.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty, and we are talking with Michigan Radio's Jennifer Guerra and Dustin Dwyer, who have been taking a real deep dive into early childhood education and where it's at in Michigan as part of our State of Opportunity project. I'm kind of curious, Jen, couldn't one argue, well, we have Head Start, and isn't that high-quality early childhood education? So where would this state's Great Start Readiness Program fit into that? Are we duplicating, or does it give you more?
Actually, no, it gives you less, I would say. Mm-hmm. Head Start, there are different ways to qualify for Head Start and the Great Start Readiness Program. Head Start, you have to be at the 100% poverty level. So for a family of four, I think that's right around $23,000, $24,000. For GSRP, it's 300% of the poverty level.
Okay.
To qualify. But to me, I think, and Dustin can probably talk to this much more since he's done a lot of research on Head Start, but there are wraparound services with Head Start where the whole family sort of gets incorporated into the betterment of the child. Mm. And with Great Start Readiness Program, there's just not a lot of funding for it. So it's the half day and transportation isn't necessarily provided to get the child to the school. So yeah, it's not as full service.
But it opens the doors to more kids.
Mm-hmm. Right, it does. Yeah. Yes, more children qualify. Yeah. And but again, the state only provides, you know, so much money for GSRP, and so you've got these 29,000 eligible 4-year-olds who still can't get a slot because there aren't enough spots open.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, you find lots of kids who, one thing that's different is that the state-run program doesn't accept 3-year-olds. You know, so GSRP is entirely for 4-year-olds. Head Start accepts 3-year-olds, and Head Start has a smaller program that's early Head Start, which accepts them even younger. You know, we were just talking about the brain science. The brain science doesn't say that kids suddenly come online at age 4, and if you're there with preschool, you'll save them. I mean, in some cases, there's a lot of research that shows that if you start even earlier, you'll help them even more. And that's a whole other aspect of early childhood education that we're almost not addressing at all.
So if we have this data and there's a clear understanding that this kind of education in these very, very early years it's life-changing, it's that important, why is it it's taken Lansing so long to act? And really taking an historic look at it, not just since Governor Snyder came in, but why has it taken Lansing so long to move on this?
Well, I think the reason is that we didn't know until really in the last 10 years just how much of a return on investment we get from preschool. I mean, I think we've known Head Start has been around since 1965. So it's been at least that long that we've sort of known that intervening early in the lives of children can make a difference. But, you know, we talk about what you get out of these programs. Well, when they're measuring the effects of these programs, there's a couple different ways you can measure it. You can look at how the kids do on sort of standardized tests, and there's a lot of people who measure the effects of preschool that way. And it turns out that's sort of a disappointing way to measure the effects of preschool, because in most studies you look at, say, the reading skills or the math skills of kids who attended preschool, they sort of fade in relation to the other kids in their elementary school. So some of those benefits kind of wash out. But when then you go back years later when they're adults, you see many more of those benefits show up again. So in the Perry study, the Perry preschool study in Ypsilanti that Jen was just talking about, they're following people who are now, I think, in their 40s or 50s. I mean, so it just takes a long time to get that data. And for economists to crunch it, they just started crunching it in the last 10 years or so. And then it made its way sort of to the business community. And then the business community has been pushing preschool now in the state of Michigan. And so it's sort of just taken that long to understand the effects.
And again, this idea of return on investment, mm-hmm. you know, business people, they're money people, they're numbers people. And
ROI matters.
Exactly. And so they see that high quality early education really does pay off, literally. And so that's why the business community is getting behind it as well.
And is that why we're seeing, for example, Senator Kahn being on board with this, and now we're hearing businessman Rick Snyder being on board? Is that really why we're at this moment in time right now?
Yeah, one Department of Education official I spoke with, she said that there's now the political will behind early mm-hmm. education, and she did point her finger directly at the business community and said, it's not the usual suspects who are the ones advocating for early education at this point. Now the business community is getting into it. Chambers of commerce are getting into it. There are over, I think, 200 employers across the state who have sort of signed a petition saying early education is important to our state. You know, Michigan, we should fund it. And I think that's, yeah, it's really helping push the ball forward.
So do you think this increase in funding will happen?
Oh, I wouldn't take bets on that. I mean, it seems like what we're hearing that something will happen. Mike Flanagan, the state superintendent of education, he was quoted saying around $75 million of an increase, which would be an increase of 70% compared to the current funding for the state preschools program. I think Jennifer, you've talked to some people who said numbers a little bit lower. So this is. Even that, I mean, it's tough to sort of say that amount would be a huge increase compared to current standards, but it would be kind of like half of what Kahn thinks we need to really make it available to all four-year-olds. So something will happen. It's still an open question how much and how much political effort is going to be put into this. I mean, we started talking about roads. The governor is out there campaigning for a tax increase for roads, and he is not campaigning in that same way about preschool, although certainly preschool advocates some preschool advocates are happy with what he did say.
And Dustin Dwyer and Jennifer Guerra are part of Michigan Radio's State of Opportunity Project. You can find past reports from the State of Opportunity team. Go online at michiganradio.org. And be sure to tune in for the special State of Opportunity documentary on early childhood education. It's tomorrow afternoon at 3. Dustin Dwyer will dive into the neuroscience of early brain development and talk about why preschool is especially important for children in poverty.